The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
As we begin our preparation for the soon coming Passover Holy Day season, starting soon for this year, notice with me some words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please go with me to John chapter 6, John 6, verse 44. John 6, verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Then dropping a little bit further down to verse 65. Verse 65, and he, Jesus, said, therefore I say unto you that no man can come to me except the Father, except it were given unto him of my Father. Now, with that in mind, I want you to also go with me to Romans chapter 1, and let's notice some words of the Apostle Paul, where he states in Romans chapter 1, verse 6, among whom you are called, also called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Called to be saints. Saints now, not just somewhere in the future. Saints now. Therefore, for us to really understand our calling to be saints, we need to ask, so what is a saint? The Greek word translated as saints here in this particular verse is hagios, and it means set apart by or for God. It means holy, or it means sacred. Then when we study even further into the meaning, the usage, and the sense of the Greek word hagios, translated saint, we see it correctly means different. It's different mean different, unlike others. It means distinguished from others. It means distinct from others. And the reason is because we are special to God, and when being applied to us as believers, it is likeness of nature with the Lord. And the reason that is because of being different from the world. Go with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2. And I'm going to read this from the New International Version, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified. This word sanctified means to treat as holy or to set apart as being holy. Sanctified in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, and call to be his holy people together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Now I want you to notice with me in 2 Timothy chapter 1. You've already figured this out. I'm laying a foundation for what we're going to address. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, the A part of the verse, 2 Timothy 1 verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Therefore, brethren, our calling is that we are to be a person, we are to be a people who are holy, simply meaning one who is separated, one who is set apart, or one who is different. Notice some other words of our Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 11, Luke 11, verse 28, Luke 11:28, and he said, Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it, or as it could and maybe even better translated, and obey it or live by it. So, brethren, here's the thing. With these words from these verses, being fresh in our minds, we need to ask ourselves a question, and the question is the title of the sermon today. And that title and that question is, does our life reflect our calling? Remember, we're preparing. We're starting the preparation time for the holy days, the Passover, and all of that. Does our life reflect our calling? Notice what Jesus stated when he was being tempted by Satan the devil, is when he went out into the wilderness. It said, for the purpose to be tempted or tried. Matthew 4 and verse 4. And he, Jesus, answered and said, it is written, and this is quoting from Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, we also know that it's the same thing in Luke 4, 4. So here's the thing, brother. When we put these verses together, and then when we focus on the title, does our life reflect our calling? And when we live by every word of God, and then when we correctly understand all of these things together, then you and I as believers, we can determine, we come to know, we understand it, we accept it, that the Bible is truly our only real source of truth. It is then, brethren, when we are living by every word of God that Jesus says that we are to be doing, it is then that we are living a life that reflects our calling. And here's the thing. We know this is true because Jesus said so. It's in John 17, verse 17. Sanctify, set apart, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. So you see, brethren, we can study God's word, coming to see the promises, coming to see the requirements that God made to his people. Then, if we would simply live by what we read when we study the Bible, we will be living the title. Does our life reflect our calling? Yet, the thing is, too many people are actually ignorant of what the Bible says. And the reason is because they choose not to study the Bible, or they simply choose not to live by it, or to obey it, or to live by every word of God. For instance, did you know the Bible shows that God looks for a certain type of person to serve him? By studying his word, we can see that God will courageously defend those whose hearts are perfectly at one with him. Please go with me, and I'll show you an illustration to make this point. Please go with me to 2 Chronicles 16, beginning in verse 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 1. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, who was the king of Judah, Baasa, who was the king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah, to the intent that he, Baasa, the king of Judah, the king of Israel, that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent it to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt in Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and you. What it more accurately is saying, there needs to be a league between you and me, as there was also between my father and your father. And behold, I send you silver and gold. Go break your league with Baasa, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa and sent the captains of his army against the city of Israel. And they smote Ijon and Dan and Abel-Maim and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass when Baasha heard it that he left off building of Ramah and let his work cease. In other words, he stopped and he left is what he's actually saying. Then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof where Baasha was building. And he, Asa, you have to read in pronouns here to understand who is the he's in all of this. And Asa built there with Geba and Mizpah. And at that time, Hananiah, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord your God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of your hand. Now, there's more to that story, but let's just continue on reading because I'm not focusing on that particular part, but we'll get real soon to it. Were not the Ethiopians and the Labans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you did rely on the Lord, he, the Lord, delivered them into your hand. He's implying here, wouldn't God have just simply delivered the, you know, even Assyria into your hands? That's what he's implying, because it's what the seer is telling him. And the answer is, yes, exactly what God would have done. But you didn't rely on God, you relied on this king. Now, we read verse 9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Some more modern translations, and I think it's probably a better rendering or usage of the word, is his eyes run to and fro the whole earth to strengthen all of those whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein you have done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, you shall have wars. Hananiah the seer was sent to speak these words against Asa because Asa had chosen not to rely on God to deliver him from his enemies. Instead of trusting God as he had done in the past, Asa decided to steal the silver and the gold out of the house of God and buy his protection from the king of Syria, relying on man, not on God. Here we, as believers today, have an opportunity where we can learn a major biblical lesson from God's word. That lesson is Asa failed to maintain a perfect heart towards God, and therefore we need to ask, so what does them whose heart is perfect toward him mean? What is that saying? Because that's what Asa failed to do. That's the lesson. He failed to do this. And so, what does it mean? The Hebrew word that is used here in 2 Chronicles 16 in verse 9 for perfect is shalem. It can mean perfect, yet probably, in the way we would get it, in the way we would understand it today, a better understanding would be complete or committed. I'm going to read from a couple of different translations where we will see it correctly translated The first one is from the New American Standard Bible. This is 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9, just the part of the verse. Those whose heart is completely His, you have acted foolishly in this. And as a result, you're going to have war. Then from the NIV, those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. See, we kind of go, what does this mean, perfect? You know, what is that talking about? Well, we can understand this a little better, I think. Fully committed to God. Those whose hearts are fully committed to God. Those whose heart is completely His. They've totally given it over to God. What do you want? That's what I want. Your will is my will. Your will be done. That's that kind of attitude. So when we consider how other passages use this Hebrew word, it becomes clear. Those whose hearts are perfect toward God are people that are completely united, or they are completely one, or they are totally committed with God, and they are one and complete agreement with the truth of God's word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Calling back phrases that we've already seen. Call to be saints. What is a saint? To put it in more modern words, they're on the same page with God. So in other words, what I'm saying is, or tempting to say through this, is they are living their life reflecting their calling to be saints. We know that God is always trustworthy. And yet, brethren, when we doubt that God will do what we ask of Him according to His will, according to His purpose. Now, there's a lot, this is a bigger subject than I'm just making it in this one statement here. When we doubt that God will do what we're asking of Him to do, we might even cease to believe in Him. I mean, through our actions, how we live our lives, we turn away from God when we doubt Him. That is why God looks for people to be united with Him so that He can be strong in their behalf. That He can strengthen them in their desires to have the completed heart fixed on God. And brethren, I think that we really do need to understand this point, because disobedience usually follows doubt. We just read the example of Asa. Then by the same understanding, obedience usually follows faith in God. And we see it is a choice. It is a choice that we make. Remember, I started this off by saying we're beginning our preparation for the coming Passover and Holy Days for this year. If we really wanted to do what I would consider to be a real eye-opening study of God's Word, showing where we stand with God, study the promises of God and see if God is strong in our behalf. And saying that, I think we also need to be very honest with our study. And what I mean by that is because if we are not blessed according to the promises that God has made, we have to consider that it may be because our heart is not yet perfect with God. Because see, here's the thing, I already stated, God is trustworthy. He's going to do what He says He's going to do. So if we go in and we study and we're honest with ourselves and we look at it and we go, well, this isn't happening in my life. There's probably some reasons. Maybe it's either a promise that's going to come to pass and we're thinking it's now, whenever reality is, it's later. Or what if it is a promise that is going to be taking place now, but we're not living with the heart that is perfect toward God? It's not God, it's us. I also want to notice that this is true by reading and noticing some verses on this particular point. Go with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll notice from Paul's writings here that, see if not what I'm saying here, if it's not true, if it bears out. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Now, in giving these descriptions of positions of people where there's, and where the jobs, if you want to use that term, that they're supposed to be living by, these are things that God has put into there. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Just read these words, just listening to these words, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see, brethren, the more we become like Jesus Christ, the more we will be in complete agreement with our Father in heaven. Comparing this verse 11, till we all come in the unity of the faith, that verse 11, with 2 Chronicles 16 in verse 9, and it will show that when God finds someone that believes in Him, He is always there for them. Now, I understand you've got to put into play here John 6:44 and John 6:65. I understand that no one's going to come. So I'm talking about believers. I'm talking about people that have been called to be saints. But what if it isn't going the way it's supposed to be going in my life? Ding, red flags. Because as we know, Jesus had complete faith in God the Father. We also need to remember that God wants us to become like Jesus Christ. Go with me now to John 17. John 17, beginning in verse 20. John 17 in verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone. He's talking about those disciples that were with him. This is the night of the Passover. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their words, those who but may believe. That's us. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they all also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given to them. Wow. Not only to those apostles with them, but also down to us today. That they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. And as we notice, Jesus prayed this for us just before his crucifixion. So it's applying to the church today. This is what I'm getting at. This is us. Jesus prayed this for us, that we would all be one with him and with the Father. So two of them are one. Asa's heart was not perfect toward God. Is our heart perfect toward God? That's the whole point. Are we living? Is our life reflecting our calling? It's obvious that Jesus is in complete agreement with his Father, and by that we therefore need to ask, are we also in complete agreement with our Father? We also need to ask, do our actions show that we're also one with God? Are we, and I mean you and me, us, are we an answer to this prayer that Jesus prayed? Remember, we're using this as a starting place to prepare ourselves for the coming Holy Day season, to examine ourselves. Start here. Go with me to John 10. John 10, verse 27. John 10, verse 27, beginning in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, John 6, 44, no one comes to me unless the Father draws him. The Father calls, he gives, the Father gives us into the hands of Jesus Christ. No one can pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. There are many Bible passages that show us that we need to be in complete agreement with God. There are also many passages that shows that we must desire to obey the Bible. After all, when you really think about it in the context of this sermon, the message that I'm giving here, living by the Word of God, it's our calling. That's what we've been called to be saints to. What is this? I mean, you know, looking at the word saint, what it means, well, what does that mean? It's by living by every word of God. That's our calling. This is where so many, maybe even all, professing Christians, and I'm not even limiting this to Sunday keepers, go wrong. Am I putting us within the yes, in that? Yes. Because here's the point. So many people refuse to trust God completely to do what he says that he's going to do. They are like King Asa in that they may follow him one time, and yet at another time, the next time, they will look for comfort, protection, somewhere else. We really need to understand the great God is not ever going to tolerate this behavior in his people. Such conduct demonstrates an unwilling heart given to rebellion. Because you see, brethren, and I believe that we can make this statement, God is not going to call anyone in this age that does not have the potential to be in the first resurrection. So as we begin to prepare for the soon coming Passover and Holy Day season for this year, we need to ask ourselves, does our life reflect our calling? And we also need to ask ourselves, has our study of God's Word changed us to the point that we are completely at one with God? That's the purpose. That's what Jesus prayed on the night whenever he was arrested and then the next morning was crucified for our sins. That's what his prayer was. Go with me to 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. You know this. And I'm using in this context with this particular sermon. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. So how do we become this way that God wants us to be? It's through the Word of God. Jesus Christ told Satan that. He says, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, so shall man live. So we need to be reading and studying God's Word so that we know God's will, and then because we trust Him, we choose to always be in agreement with Him. Then, when we're doing that, then God will show Himself strong in our behalf. That's the illustration of Asa. That's the point that we're getting there. Please go with me to Philippians 2 and verse 14. Philippians 2, verse 14, I'm going to read this from the NIV. Verse 14, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like the stars in the sky. And verse 16, the A part, as you hold firmly to the word of truth. Do you see that this really is just another way of stating who is a saint? And there are several verses, places in the Bible that show us the same principle here. Now, what I want to do here is I'd actually like to go through and read several different passages to help us drive home this particular point of the question, does our life reflect our calling? So I'm going to just read several verses. I'll tell you where I'm reading. It's not a guess what I'm thinking. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. Hebrews 4 verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. James 1, verse 22 from the NIV. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Isaiah 40 and verse 8. Isaiah 40 and verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Psalm 18 and verse 30. Psalm 18 verse 30, NIV. As for God, His way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. His shields are all who take refuge. He shields all who takes refuge in Him. Matthew 7 and verse 24. Matthew 7, 24, NIV. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Matthew 24. I told you he's reading several. Matthew 24, verse 35. The NIV, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. And I have one more. There are many. Ephesians 4 and verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of your calling you have received. Brethren, let's determine that we will never doubt God. Let's determine that we will never find a reason to reject his words. Let's keep these verses in the forefront of our thinking, in the forefront of our being, and keep them out. Remember, we're doing all of this as we begin preparation for the Sabbath. We're starting to examine ourselves. So keep these in the forefront of our thinking. That is going to help us. Because you see, brethren, here's the point. I go back and I'm just restating something that we saw earlier. God is searching to strengthen a certain kind of person. So we ask, who are those that he searches for and those that he strengthens? I have three bullets here. Real succinct. One is those whose heart is completely his. Number two, those whose heart is fully devoted and loyal to him. And number three, those whose heart belongs to him. He will strengthen those who acknowledge him as Lord and God and follow him faithfully. Then on the other hand, those that feel as though they have no need of God and refuse to follow him and to follow his way of life as disciples, that person will not experience God's great power even through trial and hardship. Remember Asa? He could have experienced the great delivering power of God, but he trusted in man and not in God. Because you see, brethren, if Asa had continued to trust and rely on God, Asa would have experienced the power of God at work on his behalf. Yet instead of doing that, he put his strength, he put his trust in man. I guess we can say that the great God had searched the heart of Asa and he found that Asa had turned away from faith, from trusting and believing in God, that God is going to do what God says he's going to do. If God had found faith and trust in Asa's heart, then God would have surely strengthened Asa and intervene mightily on his behalf. This is the same lesson for us today. The great God is searching hearts that he will trust, that will rely on him, and that will look to him fully for help, for guidance, for strength, for deliverance. Now, I really think that if we really think about this, then we should be able to see that clearly. I hope that we can see some encouragement for us here. Yet at the same time, I want us to understand there is also a warning. I want us to go back earlier in the life of Asa. See what God told King Asa just one chapter earlier. Go back again to 2 Chronicles, this time in chapter 15. Remember we read, starting in verse 1 and 16, go back to 15. 2 Chronicles 15 in verse 1. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him and said to Asa, hear you me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you. While you be with him, and if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now it goes through and it tells about an illustration of where he did rely upon God, and God did mightily deliver him out, just like he would have done just one chapter later when he didn't rely on God. And those are lessons that we can learn in our lives. That's the point. See, here's the thing. God was encouraging them As long as they sought God, He would be found. He would manifest His presence and His help and His guidance. The might of His hand, the might of His power was at God's hand to do what these people were needing to be done because their heart was fixed on God. There are many people today, including believers, who do not regularly seek God's face in prayer and Bible study, going about their own interests and their own business. We need to all remember God's words. If you forsake Him, He will forsake you. I don't know about you, but that just kind of sends chills up my back. I mean, you know, not literally, but I know you know what I'm saying. God will remain near to those that remain near to Him. We even probably all remember the words of James, the brother of Jesus, in James 4 verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and He will think about drawing nigh to you. Is that what it says? Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. That's what it says. And then there's another really encouraging verse that is back over here in Psalm 18, in verse 25, just the A part of the verse. Psalm 18, verse 25, A part. To the faithful, You show Yourself faithful. The faithful, meaning those who are totally devoted to Him, will know His mighty strength. So, brother, when we put all of this together, and when we focus on the title, does our life reflect our calling? And as we live by every word of God, and when we correctly understand all of this together, then as believers, we can determine the Bible is the only real source of truth. And when we come to that place, it is then that we are living a life that reflects our calling. Then we will be the type of person that God is looking for to add to His family and to His kingdom. It really is a matter of the heart. The Aaronic blessing and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. We love you all, brethren, very, very much. Happy Sabbath.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.